Jermaine Cornegay is the first and only African-American to be elected to the Cedro Woolley City Council, and she was a Hillary Clinton delegate to the National Convention in Philadelphia. But she's also friends with Republicans like Bill Orsborne. He was an alternate delegate for Donald Trump to the Republican National Convention. Recently, they met up at Orsborne's car repair and transmission shop in Mount Vernon to try and talk across the partisan divide. And to kick it off, Orsborne answered Cornegay's question, what does he think most Democrats don't get about Trump voters?
I've thought a lot about that over the past months, because there's a lot of folks that have just stopped talking to people that voted the other way, on both sides, really. But I would say that the things that Democrats probably don't get about Trump supporters is that they're just normal people like you. They're people that are trying to raise their kids, have their businesses. They've got maybe some different ideas on politics. But I think that, unfortunately, a lot of the media and the political parties and the candidates themselves have positioned this as a personal thing. If you agree with that guy, then you must be a terrible person. If somebody disagrees with us, they're not only wrong, but they're dumb and evil. And so I think Democrats seem to me have bought into that a little bit more. Somebody on the other side, well, they're so dumb because they either believe this guy's word or they believe that news article or there's fake news coming out. But it's, they're not thinkers, they're just dumb. And so, you know, if they're dumb and they're evil, then I don't want anything to do with them. I think we probably should get back to the point where we just realize that America has some problems, problems that we can all agree on, and then start discussing those issues and leaving the personalities out of it, but, you know, discussing it from a policy perspective. And we can have this big old, you know, food fight once every 4 years, but it shouldn't be a four-year-long food fight that just, you know, coalesces into the next one. It gets worse and worse every cycle.
I personally think there is a lot of ignorance on both sides. And it's not necessarily being dumb, but, I mean, and I've talked to friends of mine who support Trump who admit that they know nothing about politics, that's just the way they vote. To me, if somebody's voting this way and they have a good reason that they're okay with, I'm fine with that, even if it's completely opposite. But when people really don't know and are just voting because of, like, yeah, fake news or something they heard someone else say, and that's happened not in just the presidential race, but it happened in a lot of our state races too. It really hurts that election. And I just wish that we could get on the up and up, I guess.
Well, I agree with you 100% there. And I think a lot of that starts with us as political people that are really involved in the process of not taking these cheap shots, not taking the, well, this is how they do it in elections and you have to sort of twist the truth or hide that part of the truth to make this part look more important. It happens all the time. But I think we could probably start here by you and I not doing that. Mm-hmm. What do you think Republicans like me don't understand or don't get about Democrats like you?
I don't know. Maybe I'm a bleeding heart liberal or something, but I grew up in a home where my mom had nothing, but she still cooked meals for her poor neighbors. And it made her feel good. And it made me feel good that to see my mom doing that. And that's kind of like the way I am, why I'm like this now. But I would say we want fairness and humanity, and we want to protect our environment. I mean, all the way across the board. And we just have different ways of doing it.
I see your point that it's because we care about everybody. We want to help everybody. We want to help the whole country, you know, from the bottom to the top. We want to help.
Right.
And the top doesn't need as much help.
Right.
So the top needs to help the bottom instead of every man for himself. And I think that's probably one of the things that I would say maybe you guys don't get about us too, is that we also want to see everybody helped, the entire country. Probably we disagree about the way to do that. We understand that if you harm part of the country economically, then it's going to be that much harder to lift the rest of us up. I think we're all being in it together. I think we agree on that. We probably disagree on specifics and on maybe priorities. We do agree that that we're all in it together. You know, in terms of immigration, I mean, I've got immigrants working for me. I've got immigrants in my family. We've got neighbor. I've got tenants that are immigrants, and neighbors. And so this country would be so sad without our immigrants. But if there's not a mechanism to understand who's coming in and how many of them and what needs they have and so forth, then we're going to overwhelm those same services that, Jermaine, that you work so hard on. The housing for the low income, you know, the safety for the domestic violence survivor. We run the risk here of doing the same thing and really hurting the very people that we both agree need to be helped. That's the people on the lowest rung of the socioeconomic ladder.
Personally, all of the immigrants that I know, whether they are documented or not, especially the undocumented, they don't want to use the services unless they absolutely on deathbed, because they don't want to out themselves. And when I worked at the domestic violence shelter, they don't even want to come in. They'll take the abuse before they come in and ask for help because they don't want to out themselves. Like, again, it's all about the fact that they are still humans. And I understand what you're saying, but the last thing they want to do is ask for help because they run the risk of being deported. So when you see stuff that people post on Facebook about Trump, how do you feel about that?
It didn't bother me too much. I didn't really see you posting any super negative stuff.
No, not so much. When I do post stuff, and especially if it's about Trump, it would be stuff that he actually said, like maybe a recording or something, or something that I feel is sourced, not a Wikipedia thing or whatever. I don't think I post things that are fake. But if it's something that, like a video or audio, then yeah, then I feel like that's fair game.
Sure. You've seen a lot, probably a lot. There was a lot, I saw it too. A lot of negative stuff about Hillary Clinton. You probably didn't see me posting a lot of real negative stuff, but you might have. I hope not. But how did you feel when you see stuff like that? And how would you feel if you saw it coming from me?
Well, first I will say that I really don't recall seeing too much on, but I did see a lot from actually people who I considered friends on our side of the aisle. And that was, to me, a lot more hurtful. And I will say a lot of it was definitely not sourced well. And a lot of it would be debunked right away, and it would just keep recycling over and over and over again.
How hard is it to talk to Republicans after this election?
Not very hard, actually, to be honest. I have lots of clients who are Republicans. And, you know, I've known them a long time, really like them. I respect them, and I feel like they respect me. And it's, to me, as long as it is respectful, I'm cool with that. I've had Republican clients bring in coffee for me right after the election. I'm really sorry, you know, that kind of thing. And so, yeah, there are some that will not want to talk to me. Actually, some of my friends I can't really talk to. Even before the election happened, they didn't want to really talk about it. And I feel like we should be talking about it. I mean, how else are we going to know what each other wants? Is it hard for you to talk to Democrats?
Not really. You know, I have an ongoing kind of talk with a couple of the leading Democrats around here just because we're friends, you know, on these philosophical issues and political issues and stuff like that. So I don't really have a hard time talking with Democrats that want to talk. But like you, there are those out there that just, you know, they're shutting themselves into their little bubble and they don't want to talk. I think that's sad. I think that's very sad. I agree with you, Jermaine. We need to not only keep the conversation going, but expand the conversation.
Right. The holidays were really hard for a lot of people this time. And I have some friends that, you know, their families are, you know, in their views, really extreme. And to me, I don't feel like people should be around people who make them feel uncomfortable or might say things that really disturb them. I I don't think I could do it. But I do have friends who are really reasonable and moderate who I can have a conversation with. And there are some people who you just can't. And it doesn't matter if they're a Republican or Democrat. There's just some people you just can't get along with.
Mm-hmm.
Talking face to face is a whole lot easier, in my opinion, because you're going to have a more respectful conversation than hiding behind a screen and just, you know, saying it's nice to have an outlet, like maybe a good friend that you can just really talk to about dirty issues when it comes to politics, or on Facebook, maybe in a special group or something. It's nice to do that. But really, I feel like people should really watch the hate that they spread on social media. I really do.
On both sides.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I feel like we're not helping each other by doing that. On Facebook, you're really not trying to work on an issue, really. You're venting. But in person, I feel like you're more trying to work things out. It's different than Facebook. There's just someone who just pushes a button and they share this or they...
Yeah, you look into any comment on Facebook, but any comment thread on an article, I mean, it just goes directly to name-calling, cursing, personal attacks. It's so unhelpful.
And at each other. You know, in like if I have a Facebook thread that's going and I have some friends that might get a bit riled up really fast, sometimes what I do is I send them a warning. Hey, please take it easy. This guy is cool. You know, I'd like to just have a really nice discussion here. I don't want to alienate anyone. I just want to have a discussion. And they're cool with it. Mm-hmm. Or if they do, sometimes I have to say, hey, knock it off. You have to kind of monitor that so that you can really have a discussion. And I don't want my Republican friends on my page to feel like they're going to be attacked. I mean, sometimes they say some crazy stuff, okay. But that's, a little bit of attack, but not like name calling and stuff. I don't put up with my friends calling my other friends' names.
That's great.
I find that I have Republican friends who are that way as well. And I think I've got a really nice mixture of both of all sides, and everyone seems to respect each other, at least right now.
That's very important. If I'm going to write something, it's like I think you've seen on Facebook. You've never seen me make a comment to somebody that I wouldn't feel comfortable saying it to their face, because
exactly.
I might see that guy tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
you know? And to me, people are using it as a format to be childish, but it's would be so much more helpful if we could all use it as a vehicle to communicate honest ideas back and forth than just to be at each other's throats.
That's Republican Bill Orsborn speaking with Democrat Jermaine Cornegay at his shop, Gateway Car Care and Transmissions, up in Mount Vernon, Washington. I'm David Hyde, KUOW News.